All righty. Well, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Chris, can you open us up in prayer, please?
Lord, we thank you for this day, and thank you for getting all of us here safely. And I pray for everyone that is still on their way, you get them here safely. I pray for Alma that she get breakfast here soon for everyone.
Yes, Lord.
And I just lift up Ray to you right now in this teaching that you've given him. I pray that you would prepare our hearts for it and give him the words to speak and help us to not only just hear it, but to take it to heart and carry it into our week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Before you start off, Ray, I was going to say that everybody that was up in prayer this morning, doesn't that kind of go along with all the prayers that were coming out?
Oh, yeah.
About following God's purpose.
Yeah.
You're on the right track, brother.
Okay, it's all God.
I didn't mean that.
Amen. Well, yes, the title that God put in my heart is about purpose. And anyway, so I thought about that because, you know, growing up and years ago when I was younger, I was in church. And after I did that, I kind of stepped away from church and you know, kind of started doing my own thing. Huge mistake. But I always kind of thought about that. You know, why do things happen? You know, what's God's purpose in life for me? Why are things happening in my life like this? You know, why is God allowing certain things to happen? So, you know, all those questions came to mind. It's like, you know, what's my purpose? What does God want, you know, from me? And I just didn't know, you know. And it's hard to try and tell God, show me, when you're not involved in the things that he wants you to do. So for many years, I kind of thought about that. So I want to touch up and see if maybe we could share a little bit of light on, you know, God's purpose and what he wants us to do and what we need to do to try and understand what God's purpose is for our lives. Because a lot of times it's obvious, okay? God kind of shows you pretty quick what he wants you to do, and he kind of shows you the roadmap for it. And other times he doesn't, okay? So Proverbs 19:20-21 says, listen to advice and accept discipline. Right off the bat. Listen to advice and accept discipline. Sometimes it's easy to listen to the advice, but it's hard when it's going to discipline us. We don't like the discipline part. We don't mind listening sometimes. Okay, but when it comes down to the discipline part of it, that's when we kind of start buckling. Our knees start buckling a little bit.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Bob, you got your...
Oh, say yeah, my assistant.
Oh. Yes.
When you hear it, you know, you listen to advice. It's going to come to you about marriage advice.
Oh, I had a friend at work. He knew that we worked together. He knew I was a Christian. He'd come to me for a little advice. He was having some problems at home. You know, I don't know if he'd went to other people first, but, you know, he'd come to me. And he asked, do I know anything about marriage? I said, well, I've been married for, I think, 47 years we've been married now? 112? Somewhere. Forever. At that time we weren't, but we'd been married well over 30 years, right? I said, well, I know a little bit, you know, and we talked. I give him some advice, you know, biblical advice, right? I even actually showed him. He said, well, I can't accept that. He said, you know, I appreciate your help, but I'm going to go talk to my friend Fred, no relative. I said, why are you going to talk to Fred? He's not saved. He's been married 4 times. This is his 5th wife. You've only had one. He's had 5. He probably knows more about it than you do. Now, if you think real fast, that almost makes sense, doesn't it? But not biblical sense, does it?
No. That's absolutely right. It says, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. His purpose always, always prevails, right? Does ours always prevail?
No.
Oh. But here's the thing, though. A lot of times we try to force it. Right? You know, well, it didn't work this time. If I try a little harder, maybe it'll work. And you try it. You know, well, maybe I made a few mistakes. And maybe if I try to change it up a little bit, it'll work. And you keep trying and trying and trying, and it's not going to work. Because it's not God's purpose. This is just your plans and things you would like to do, but you never spoke to God and say, God, what is your purpose? What is it you want me to do? And then I'll step aside, Lord, and you show me, tell me what it is that you want me to do. And then things will start working out. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, our purpose is to do what is right, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of others. And I've always said that to myself a lot of times. Because it's one thing that in my home or among my friends, or actually not even around my friends, I act one way, okay, or when I'm in church, I act one way. And then when I'm with other people, I'm totally different. So when I'm in church or around church members or church friends or relatives or, you know, brothers and sisters, then, you know, Ray's all very, you know, proper and, you know, very religious and everything. But then when I go outside that realm or that, you know, that realm right there, then I start acting a different way. Now, how can I be a witness as to who God is when I have a split personality? Okay, you got the Christian Ray, and then you got the Ray that's not so Christian when I'm with certain people.
Yep.
Says, yes.
Best example. When I was on the planning board here in Melvindale, I first started, they had the one guy that was on there. I didn't know him except from there. He claimed to be a Christian. He was always, they had him praying before the services and everything. Everything he said was just right and great, and he'll bless you, brother, and all this. To one day, I'm at the gas station up here, and I hear just the filthiest mouth. His 12-year-old or 13-year-old son, he's just cussing the heck out of him. Now, was that the same person? Which one is he? Right? Now, that same way, don't you think that people are going to hear you when you're out there? When somebody goes by and you kind of wave at them with the wrong wave or something you don't like? Always happens. I think somebody told a story about somebody whizzed by them, they kind of flipped them the bird or something. They pull up and it was their pastor.
Yeah.
But
my daughter, she didn't give him the bird. She was, you know, she was like screaming and she's yelling at him and everything. And you don't know how to drive and get out. And Jesse was going to round down the window, say a few other words. It was her pastor that pulled up.
Yeah.
That's what she was going to yell at.
I remember, I won't mention any names, a person in the church, Carmen, who was... I wish I had the videotape because it was hilarious. She knows what I'm talking about. So I won't embarrass you anymore, Carmen. So you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. But we're all guilty of that. I was sitting at home. Yeah, yeah. No. All right, Carmen, you want to tell the story? No, I'll tell us. Yeah, yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Huh? Got a million hits or just, something like that.
Yeah, real quick. The other day, I'm sitting in my living room, and Laura's in the kitchen, you know, cooking, and the dog running around. The dog has a tendency, those have been in a home group, you know, Lizzie's dog, jump up on you and wants to be pet. And I hear something drop, and I hear, damn it! You know, you stupid dog, you know? And then 2 minutes later, I hear her sing, you know, a praise song. So tell her to get with Carmen there.
Yeah, so it says, our purpose is to do what is right, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of others. That is so very true. Yes.
I just wanted to say that sometimes we act out of character.
Yes.
It isn't, my identity hasn't changed, but I'm acting out of character.
It says in Ephesians 1:11, it says, all things are done according to God's plan and decisions. And God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose. His own purpose. Based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Those are key words. It doesn't say you. It doesn't say me. It doesn't say us. It says he. It's the Lord's purpose that we need to focus on. Not ours. It's his purpose.
Hey, babe, before yes. you go on, I did want to share something about that. If you go back to that. You can go back to the verse there, just
use your outdoor voice.
Oh.
Or the voice you use on Ray when he
I was just about out. To say that. Yeah, yeah I get that louder one. That way.
yeah, the whole house hears that one.
And the block. I just want to say, you know, according to God's plan, you know, as we grow up, as myself growing up, I had a plan, of course. You know, everyone has their own plan of what they're going to do, where they're going to go, and how they're going to get away from where they live. one of the things I did say was I would never marry a Puerto Rican. I know I'm Puerto Rican, but the household I grew up in, Sebastian in the room? No? Okay, good. Was not the best household. And living in Chicago, I was around all of my uncles, which, of course, are my dad's brothers, and all lived the same way. They were all drinkers. They were all adulterers. They were all, well, they were living a life that, as growing up, it's something I kept saying, I would never, I will never, I would never. And, of course, one of the things I would never was I will never marry a Puerto Rican because I knew what that life was. That's all I lived
I'm
around.
Italian.
And yeah. I had a lot of other I will nevers. And I did manage to stick to a lot of them. I would never, you know, allow my husband or someone I'm dating to be like my father was with my mother or my uncles with my aunts. And seeing the abuse and seeing what was going on, I would never. And I did stick to a lot of that. Of course, you know, in that time, we were going to Catholic church, but as a child going to Catholic church, you're going to, you know, be yelled at by your parents about sitting down and being quiet and not really learning the Bible and not learning the word. So until coming here, I did not really know anything in regards to the word. But coming here, God opened my eyes and gave me all this memory of, remember what you said, and now look at where I have you. And that is one of the things that I am grateful for every morning is, you know, I have my list of thank you for life, thank you for breath of air, thank you for your printed word that I may study and live by. But one of the things I always am grateful for is the Christian husband that you have placed me with because I get to look back.
Puerto Rican, by the way.
I get to look back, and I know the words I said, and I know my prayers to him. I remember them, and I said, I will not marry a Puerto Rican. But apparently, I did not know the other side of that. I did not know that there could be a Christian man who was Puerto Rican for me. It is.
It is.
Because what I grew up in was not anything that I would place my enemy in. Every night, good 4 or 5 times a week, was a battle at 4:30 in the morning in my home. And I said, I will not live that. And with Ray, you know, when we first started dating and before we got married, neither one of us was practicing anything. I was Catholic, he was Pentecostal, but he wasn't going there and I wasn't going to Catholic church. So, you know, we were just living in the world. But on God's timing, of course, after Sebastian came along, that thing that said, hey, you got to find a church. Hey, you got to bring him up in a church. You know, just hit me. And I was like, okay, whatever that means, I didn't know at the time. And I kept saying, you know, okay, Ray, we got to start looking for a church. He's like, yeah, okay. I mean, because where was that coming from? From another person who really wasn't practicing anything. And, you know, here we are today, fast forward 10 years later, 11 years actually now. And it's a blessing to say thank you, Jesus, for that path you've placed me in and where I am and the many blessings and the many lessons that you've given me. you know, and every day I thank the Lord for that. And that does include my Puerto Rican husband.
See, I told her at first, because I found out later that in my, you know, in our you know, family history, that my great-grandfather was actually Italian. So when, you know, she says, oh, so you're not 100% Puerto Rican, that's why I think it kind of, she gave up and says, oh, well, he's not really a Puerto Rican. So he's a little bit Italian. So it says in the book of Jonah, it is a book of Nevim. In the Hebrew Bible, it tells of a Hebrew prophet named Jonah, son of Amittai, who was sent by God to prophesy the destruction of Nineveh, but tries to escape the divine mission. And I looked up that word, and it's actually the second part of the Jewish scriptures, which contains the writings of the prophets. So I wanted to look up what that name meant. I said, well, what's that name mean? So that's what it means right here. It says, to Jonah the Lord spoke, saying, and I didn't put all the verses in here, the whole chapter, because of time, I wanted to kind of shorten it up a little bit. But to Jonah the Lord spoke, saying, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it, for its wickedness rises up before me. It says, but Jonah did not wish to preach to the people of Nineveh, for they were the enemies of his land, the land of Israel. He wished Nineveh to die in its sins and not to turn to God and live. So Jonah tried to go away from the city where God had sent him. He went down to Joppa and took the ship to Tarshish. Who was Jonah thinking about? He was thinking about himself, right? Never was thinking about what God's plan was, what God told him to do. He thought of himself. Well, I don't like him. I don't like them people. He says, Ray, I want you to, you know, go talk to this group over here. Well, Pastor, I really don't get along with him. I really don't like him that much. He and I kind of bump heads like 5 years ago, and I just don't like him anymore. So, Pastor, please don't send me over here to talk to him or to minister to him or to witness to him or to share God's love with him. Because, Pastor, you know God's out about love, but I don't want to go over there and talk to him. I thought, it's all about God's love. You just finished saying God's a loving God, and we're supposed to be God-like, right? We're supposed to, you know, imitate what God does and share his love with others. But, Pastor, I just don't want to do that with him or with her. So who am I thinking about? Me. What I like and don't like. See, the pastor, God never asks you what you like or don't like.
Pastor Don never
does. No. I remember we went on the missions trip. And Pastor Don says, okay, Ray, it's your turn to translate for somebody that was sharing his testimony. We were in the compound, and there was a whole bunch of people around us listening to us. And so, you know, I got the other mic, and, you know, I'm translating for somebody else. And, well, they got done. So we're like, okay, we're done. So Pastor Don comes. So somebody give a little Pastor Don, you know, because we're done testifying here. So I got the microphone, and I'm trying to kind of like, you know, fill in the little void until he gets there. So I got the microphone, and I'm talking. Pastor Don comes up. He goes, just run with it, brother. And leaves me there. And takes off. So I'm like, great. Thanks, Pastor. So I had to run with it. I had to, you know, you talk about instant prayer. So, Lord, please give me the words. Because it wasn't planned. I plan on just, you know, translating. But, you know, as Pastor Don always says, always be ready. Right? Always be ready. So I learned that night real quick. But anyways, yeah, Jonah was just thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about God's plans or what God told him to do. See, God didn't say, it doesn't say that God says, well, hey, Jonah, if you got time and you're not busy, here's what I want you to do. Right? So if you can do it, if you can do me that favor and go over there and talk to them and preach to them, I would really appreciate it. See, God gave him specific instructions and exactly what to do. He says, go. This is what I want. I want you to go there. Doesn't say, you know, pray on it, you know, have a meeting on it, have a meeting with the elders and deacons and leaders of the church about it. You know, seek wisdom from somebody, get advice. God said, go. See, a lot of times God will tell us, this is what I want you to do. And he's specific. I want you to go and do this. And then we start turning into Jonah. But Jonah didn't wish to preach. He didn't want to talk to them. He didn't want to preach to them. See, a lot of times the pastors and God will actually tell us, I want you to talk to this person. It's not about us. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with God's will and God's purpose. See, and God has a plan. We just don't know how that plan is going to fall out or how it's going to plan out because it's not our plan. This is God's plan. He knows the beginning and the end of his plan. It's his plan. Right? Because a lot of times, I know Ken can talk about it, you know, when somebody, the guy that's doing the blueprint to a building, he knows exactly what he wants and where he wants it. Now, he might show that blueprint to somebody else. They might say, well, you know, I don't quite get it. But he does. It's his blueprint. Uh-huh. He created that. He knows exactly where every nail is going to go in that building. The other person that's come along, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. It's not for you to get. It's for you to just do what the plan says. He created the blueprint. He did all the work. He wants you to do it. It says, but the Lord saw Jonah on the ship. See, a lot of times we think you can get away with certain things. But the Lord saw Jonah on the ship, and the Lord sent a great storm upon the sea, so the ship seemed as though it was going to go in pieces. Says, but the Lord, see, again, we can't hide from God, right? Who thinks he can hide from God? You can't. I don't care where you go. We can't hide from God. It says, at last, when they could do nothing else to save themselves, they threw Jonah into the sea. And that before this, okay, you know, the sea was, you know, was going, they thought they were going to drown, that, you know, they were going to get shipwrecked. And so they prayed to their God, and they didn't get an answer. See, sometimes we try to do things the other way, and you don't get an answer. You went to the wrong source. See, we go to the wrong source. What's that? See, but they knew, so they went to Jonah, and if you read on just prior to this, it tells you that, and I love this. At last, when they could do nothing else to save themselves. See, a lot of times we get to that point in our walk, right? We tried doing things our way for such a long time, and then finally we just come to the conclusion that it's not working out. Because you didn't go to the right source. See, if you need engine work on your car, you don't go to the shoe store guy to try and get advice on how to fix your car. Right? If you need tires, right, you don't go to a sporting goods store to try and get tires for your car. You go to a tire shop. You have to go to the right source. See, and they tried everything else. They went to other guys. Their gods couldn't do anything. So when they finally realized, it says, they threw Jonah into the sea. At once the storm ceased and the wave became still. Then the men on the ship feared the Lord greatly. Yes, because they were in a tough position. They were scared. And a lot of times, right, in our walk, it happens that we put ourselves in a position, or we find ourselves in that position, and we need to make sure that we go to the right source. Who's the right source? God. His word. That's our source. That's who we need to go to. It says, they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made promises to serve him. That's one thing you got to make sure you do. You make a promise, keep it. Especially if it's to the Lord. There's a lot of people out there, when they find themselves in a tight position, they start making promises, and then they don't keep them. And then their life becomes a disaster, and then they start wondering, why is my life going so bad? You made a covenant with the Lord. You made a promise to the Lord. You need to keep it. You know? And just like us, I mean, we need to be men and women of our word. We need to be. If we tell somebody we're going to do something, you need to do it. You know, the Bible says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. So if you commit to something, to do something, follow up with it. Do it. If you made a promise to a brother or sister, or not even a brother or sister, or somebody else, that you're going to be there and help them out, right? Or if they called you, they need you for prayer, whatever, do it. Show up. Be a man or woman of your word.
I've heard people, Christians, say that they won't go to a fellow Christian tradesman because they're not reliable.
Yeah.
And, you know, shamefully, I've seen that myself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's very important, like you said, when you say yes, no matter who it is, it's yes.
There's... Did you have some inside walk put in by
Thank you, Pastor. I'll plead the fifth on that one, too, just like...
Carmen?
Carmen? Yes, so no, I don't want to talk about that.
It says, and the Lord calls it great, and again, I'm just kind of, there's a couple of verses that I, because of time restraints, it says, and the Lord caused a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was alive within the fish for 3 days and three nights. It says, and the fish Jonah cried to the Lord. Now, had he done what God told him to do in the first place, he wouldn't be out crying to the Lord right now. It's called obedience. So when God tells you to do something, we need to do what God asks us to do. Same with our pastors. You know, they don't do it. They don't ask you to do something just because they just don't want to do it themselves or whatever, or just to be lazy. You know, God a lot of times puts in their heart something that they're asking somebody from this church to do something. And we need to be obedient to that. It says, and the people of Nineveh believed the word of the Lord as spoken by Jonah. They turned away from their sins and fasted and sought the Lord, from the greatest of them to even the least. The king of Nineveh rose from his throne and laid aside his royal robes, and converted himself with, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat at the ashes, in ashes, as a sign of his sorrow. And the king sent out a command to the people that they should fast and seek the Lord and turn from their sin. See, that was God's plans. That was his purpose. But Jonah wanted to do his thing. Right? He didn't want it to be obedient to what God told him to do. And instead, he wanted to do his own thing. And he found himself in a position where, you know, he was on a ship. There was going to be shipwrecked. And then from that, he got thrown. Okay? Jonah didn't just, like, climb down slowly into the water and calmly get in. He was thrown off. See, sometimes God will allow us to be just thrown. Because sometimes we just need that little hard landing so it can go... Okay, I got it. Thank you, Lord. I got it. You know, God can have done it in a nice, easy way and in a nice, gentle way, but sometimes God needs to kind of just throw us so we can get it, right? Just like our kids when they were growing up. It doesn't happen a lot nowadays, because nowadays if you spank your kid, they won't want to lock you up. But when I was growing up, my mother would say, if you're going to call the cops, you better tell them to send SWAT. Because they got to bring backup, because I'm going to tear you up, boy. Right? There was no discussion. That's how we grew up.
Sound like my brother.
Yes, that's how we grew up. You know? And it was because my mother wasn't, she's just very, very strict. You know, we broke certain rules. There's a punishment for that. Right? And sometimes sometimes, you know, my mom would say, okay, you know what, you're grounded for a day or two. But then sometimes my mom had to throw us, right? Sometimes she had to be a little hard because she wanted us to get it. You need to get it. You need to understand why I'm doing this. And sometimes, you know, she, as you, anybody, that happened to anybody, as you're getting spanked, it just kind of told you a story while you're getting hit. I'm like, please just finish and just finish the beating. Because, you know, it was a story. And do you know why I'm doing this? Because, you know, I love you. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Mom.
I hope this is a short story.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, you know, so my mom was like, you know. But, again, sometimes you have to be a little more harsh than other times with your own kids. Well, that's how our Father is with us. Sometimes he needs to be a little harsh because we want to be like Jonah. We want to kind of do our own thing.
Yep.
Proverbs 19:22, that was in Proverbs 19:21 because that relates to that. Because it says, Proverbs 19:20-21, listen to the advice and accept the discipline. See, Jonah didn't want to listen to accept the advice the Lord gave him, so he got what? Disciplined. It says, even though Jonah tried, he could not stop or change God's purpose. See, God's purpose was going to happen no matter what Jonah did. No matter what Jonah did, God's purpose was going to happen. There was, God had a mission. God had a purpose. He knew who he wanted to reach and what needed to happen, and God was going to do it. Jonah going on to a different ship. Now, God could have just sent somebody else. But God said, you're the one I chose. Because sometimes we want to do that. Pastors will ask us to do something. The Lord asks us, well, really? I mean, Pastor, I think Ken can do a better job than that. Pastor, can you send Ken? Can you send Jacob? You know, hey, Bob. You know, Bob, you know, really, send Bob. He's been doing this for a long time, Pastor. No, I want you. No, just been around for a long time. Right? So God wants to send you. And we want to be like Jonah. We want to have, hey, can you send somebody else? God wants to use you. I don't know about you, wait. I want to be used by God. I do. I want to be used by God. So if God tells me to go somewhere and do something, I'm not supposed to question why he's doing that. My job is to be obedient to what he's asking me to do and then do it. And not look for excuses. Because I tell you what, the excuse book is as high as the Empire State Building. Full of excuses that we can give. It says, Moses, Paul, and Joseph, what did these three men have in common? Moses, Paul, and Joseph, what did these three men have in common? Their purpose was something other than what God's purpose was for them. Moses had a pretty good thing going on, living in the palace, right? At the time, Moses was doing pretty good, right? High position, good food, good company, good clothing, dressed pretty good. It says pretty good. Anyways, to the one that God would choose to free the people, and after 40 years through the desert, get them to the promised land. God had a purpose for Moses. I'm sure that when Moses, at the time when he was growing up, the last thing he was thought about was he was going to be doing that. But see, that was Moses' purpose. He thought he was going to be probably living a good life for the rest of his life. But God had a purpose, and God wanted to use Moses to fulfill God's purpose. See, it was never about Moses. It was always about God's purpose and God's plans. And Moses became obedient. Moses was blessed. And Moses got to see God do so many things right in front of his face. He got to witness that. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes when, a lot of time, or not sometimes, all the time when I see God's glory or God's doing something, I mean, I get excited. I'm like, whoa, that was so cool. Paul, who thought his purpose was to go around persecuting Christians. He thought that was his purpose. To one of the greatest, he went from that to one of the greatest evangelists, who set an example to Christians to trust God in all circumstances. And we all read a lot of stories about Paul and everything that he went through, some circumstances he went through. He didn't deny God. See, he stayed focused on what God asked him and told him to do. Places that God sent him, he went and he was obedient to God's purpose. It wasn't about him. He never said, I'm Paul. You know, I could do what I want to do. Because I tell you what, when we start doing that attitude, God will change it real quick. Says Joseph, who maybe questioned his purpose after a plot to be killed, then sold by his own brothers, falsely accused and imprisoned for it. God's purpose was to elevate and promote and use him. That's just one of the things. See, when we submit ourselves to God, right, God will go ahead and start using you and showing you his purpose. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to seek every single day God's purpose, not our purpose, his purpose. Because I don't know about you, but when I was not in church, my purpose had nothing to do with God. How many here, when the world, everything they did was for God? Nobody. The last thing you did was anything for God. You were not in his in fellowship with him, right? We didn't give our hearts to him. We didn't dedicate ourselves to him. So he was furthest from our minds and our purpose in life. But God now is showing us every single day his purpose and how he wants every single one of us to be in. And he does that every single day. Every single day he's showing us a little nugget, a little piece of what he wants us to do. And sometimes it's just, he shows you the whole thing. He gives you the whole plan. And we get that. All things are done according, and I'm going to finish this up here. All things are done according to God's plan and decisions. And God chose us to be in his own people, I mean, in the people in union with Christ, because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided, and I read this earlier, because this goes with this. I said, what should our purpose be? And this is just, again, just a little sample. It says in Mark 12:30-31, it tells us this. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than this. So you want to know what God's purpose is? You want to have God reveal to you his purpose and the plans that he has for you in that? Mark 30:31 tells us that. Because if you start doing all this to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength, if we give ourselves completely to him, and I mean completely to him, and everything it says with all, not just a little bit of it, Lord, I'm only going to love you 50%. I'm only going to do 25% of the things that you tell me to do. I'm only going to commit 5 or 7%, Lord. He wants it all. Every single thing that we have is for the Lord. You want to see God's purpose? You want to continue to see God move and show you things and show you things that he wants you to do and how he wants to bless every single one of us? Give it all. Everything that you have is for the Lord. His purpose is to use every single one of us in one way or another. He gave each one of us a gift. We all have a different gift. Right? God wants to use every single one of us and use that gift for his purpose. It's not so that we can go bragging around, guess what I did? Or guess what I can do? It's not about Ray. This is about God's kingdom and how God can use every single one of us for his purpose. It's not for our purpose. I got to put my purpose and the things that Ray would like to do to the side. I got to throw that to the side. Lord, what is it you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? I'm going to give you everything I have. All of me is yours. And then you'll start seeing God move in your life. And then like Pastor John and Pastor Don preached, you want to see God's glory? Start doing all those. Amen? Amen. That's all I have. We have prayer downstairs. Amen.